Thank you so much, everyone. Glad you're here this morning. If you are a visitor with us, this is a great day to be here. It's not that you're going to get a meal, because you are, but we offer meals here every Sunday at Southside. But this is a high day meal. See, you have your regular Sunday meals, which are like diet Oreos. Then you have your high days, which are like mega stuffed Oreos. Okay, that's the difference. So glad you're here this morning. Hope that you will stay for lunch. I'm going to add a fourth, fifth, and sixth reason for staying. Right? Fourth is free. All right. Fifth is you don't have to tip anybody. Sixth is our restaurants here in Clean aren't that great anyway. All right, so come on, stay for lunch. Glad you're here. Want to express some appreciation to everyone who filled in for me last week while my family was on vacation. We thank you for that chance to get away. So thank you, Dave and Juan and Robert and Brother Joseph for filling in for me while we're gone. Thank you for taking the pulpit and for the classrooms. Appreciate that chance that we can go and get away. We went to Hot Springs, which is kind of funny to go to a place that has hot in the word when you're in the middle of August, but we did. But we didn't get in the waters, folks. I wasn't there for the waters. We were there for the mini golf. We go to play mini golf. We plan our vacations around mini golf courses. We really do, honestly. And so we played about five different days. We went and played mini golf those days. So that's just what we do. Rested. Glad to be back. Hope that you were not too deprived by our being gone. I know you weren't. We're going to return to our series of lessons on the Church of Christ. We've been talking about the church that Jesus died to build. Been looking at different aspects of that church. And right now, we're on a two-part series of lessons that concern the work of the church in its primary functions. And 2 weeks ago, when I was here last, we discussed two of those different works that we're involved in. And that is that we're basically involved in two things, the edification of the church, which is the building up of the church members. And then we talked about the benevolence of the church, where we bear one another's burdens and we take care of the needs of one another. Today, we're going to look at the third and final one of those, and that is our need to evangelize. Evangelism seems to be the one area, in my mind, in the church, where we really struggle to impress upon each individual member the importance of every single member being a priest for Christ. We seem to struggle with helping everyone understand that evangelism is something that we all do. So I'm proud sometimes when my lessons just happen to come out where I can use a really good illustration. We're about to go back to school tomorrow. Everybody that goes to school is about to go back to school tomorrow. And what better place for us to spread Christ than at school, at work, when we have opportunity to meet people that are not a part of us already? What better time to do that? So I'm going to encourage you this morning to consider each and every one of us have a responsibility to evangelize and spread the gospel message. So we're going to talk about that this morning as we begin by looking at Christ's commission, which is, I think, the best place you can ever start when having a sermon on evangelism, is to start where Jesus said, go and evangelize, basically. Now go to Matthew 28, if you will, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Where Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus says, I'm going away, and I'm going away for a while, but I'm still with you even though I'm gone. And I want you to go and make disciples. Now, disciples for who? Disciples for Christ. He says, I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations. That doesn't mean you all have to go overseas to do that. Now, some folks are going to stay here and evangelize locally, but basically, as you're going, you need to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is the only way that a person ever becomes a part of the body of Christ, is to be baptized into that body. So we want everyone to understand that when Christ said, go ye, he didn't mean just go disciples or just go apostles. He meant go everybody. Now, the way that I reason this out of my own head is this. If evangelism was to end when the apostles died, then Jesus was only talking to the apostles. Evangelism wasn't to die with them. Evangelism was to go on, so he's talking to us as well. So this is a message for everyone. Everyone needs to understand that we have a responsibility to evangelize. So as they taught, the implication is that those that were taught would then continue to teach and so on until today. Here we are 2,000 years after the death of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus, and we still are preaching and teaching Christ Jesus to the world. Jesus has changed forever the history of the world because of our evangelistic efforts, but we need to not ever get tired of that or slow down. Now look at the other expression of the commission from the Lord. I found in Mark 16, 15 and 16, where Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. All the world includes Killeen, Texas. It includes, Harker Heights. It includes Copper's Cove. It includes Lubbock, Texas. It includes Korea and the Philippines. It includes every place that we can go. So go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. All creation doesn't mean you're preaching to your dogs and your cats. It means all the creation that can be saved, which is people, all right? So all of the people in the world need to have the gospel preached. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Same implication is here. If Christ says to them, you need to go into all the world and teach to all the creation, he didn't mean just until you all die. He means then everybody that learns from you is going to go and preach and teach and so on. So this is a message for everyone. If you're here this morning and you're listening to my voice, you are charged by Christ. If you're a child of God, you've been baptized into the Lord, then you're charged by Christ to go and preach and proclaim the gospel in some way or another. Now, if you doubt that, I'm going to take you to the very first sermon I ever preached at Sunset about 30 years ago. First sermon I ever preached at Sunset for an Ed Horton preaching class, all right, had to do with 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. I still remember this to this day. It was the hardest thing I ever did was to preach that very first sermon. But this was my text that was assigned by Ed, and he said, I want you to especially focus on the word proclaim. And I said, all right, I'll do that. So here you go. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Folks, I continue to preach to you the priesthood of all believers. You are a royal priesthood. Every person here is a priest of Christ, so you have obligation to serve Christ faithfully in your worship to God and in your work as a follower of Christ. So we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Now, the word proclaim is the Greek word you probably ought to know by now, because I say this to you all the time. It's the word ekangelete, to proclaim forth, to speak out. I know the King James Version says show forth. That's all right. The King James Version says a lot of things that we don't say anymore because we don't use the same language anymore, all right? But the idea is the idea of preaching out or proclaiming. Every one of us, therefore, is a person who is a royal priesthood. We're a person who's a chosen race. We're a person who is a part of a holy nation. And therefore, we are to proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people. When you were not a people, you didn't have any obligation to God. Now that you are a people, you've received the mercy of God. You've received the mercy of God. Now let's talk about the mercy of God. Let's tell other people about the mercy of God. Preaching the gospel doesn't mean that you have to know everything there is to know about the Bible. If that's so, I need to sit down right now because I don't know everything to this day, all right? Doesn't mean you need to know everything there is to know about salvation. But if you knew enough to be saved, you know enough to teach somebody else how to be saved, all right? It's that simple. If we talk about ekangelete is to proclaim forth, to tell other folks the excellencies of God. Has God done anything excellent for you? Has he done anything good for you? Is your life better because of Christ, because of God? And if so, tell somebody else about it. That's all he's asking here, is tell somebody else about it. Spread that gospel message. The audience here was more than the apostles, more than just the church. It was a charge for every person that ever heard the name of Christ and responded to that gospel, right? So we are, each one of us, called to do that. Now, there is a sense in which there are a special group of folks who are especially prone to evangelism. And they're called the evangelists, and they were actually a gift to the church, but that does not relieve you and I of the responsibility of preaching and teaching the gospel every chance we get, or speaking of Christ to everyone we have a chance to speak to him about. They were sent by Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says that Christ gave his gifts to the church, some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. The pastors and teachers are our elders, of course. Evangelists are those who preach and teach the word. There are some folks who are specially charged with preaching and teaching in a way that's greater than the average person. And they were a gift given by God to the church, by Christ to the church, right? But that doesn't exempt everyone else. While it does give some people the specialized responsibility to evangelize, it doesn't relieve everybody else of the responsibility of spreading the gospel, all right? So we have a talent for every person. And if I'm going to still use Scripture, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. And I'm not going to look at the entire thing. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But you're familiar enough with the parable of the talents to follow along with what I'm saying. As the man in the parable is going away, and you know it's Christ is going away, or God that's going away, and you know that he's coming back, and he calls all of his servants, each and every one of his servants, each and every servant receives a talent with which to work, at least one talent. The least skilled person was given a talent to work with. There were no unassigned servants in that parable. None were unassigned. I want you also to notice that the talents are not skills, right? Talents are not skills. I think sometimes we start teaching that the talents are skills, so they're not, because I want you also to notice that in about verse 16, 17, someplace in there, you can go ahead and read the whole thing. He gave talents to each one according to his ability. As the ability was there, the talent was given. So it's not a talent for skill, it's talent for the skill you already have. And so the talents work out to be assignments from God, work that you can do for Christ, all right? So at least the least skilled person was still given at least one assignment to do for Christ. Can we deduce what that assignment was? Now, I'm always hesitant to do so, all right? Always hesitant to speak where the Bible does not actually speak. But if there was one thing that I think every person is charged with, and therefore would be one talent that everyone has from God, that is to proclaim the excellencies of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Each one of us is charged with at least that much. So I'm not for certain, but I think it's not a stretch of the imagination to say that every person who had been saved, every saved servant could teach someone else how to be saved. That's the least you can possibly do as a member of the body of Christ, is at least show someone else or try to bring somebody else to Christ as best you're able. Now, there's inviting, and not every invitation is going to be accepted, but you're still inviting. You're doing what you can. They're speaking. Not everyone's going to listen, but you're still doing what you can. You're speaking, all right? So do what you can to try to bring another person to Christ. We have a very somber charge. It's also a very sobering charge, but we have a very somber charge, which we have a part of every time I get in the pulpit here, and I appreciate you guys for continuing to do that all these years. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, as Paul is talking to Timothy, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. I'm charging you, Timothy, to preach the word, but he's not charging just Timothy's of the world to preach the word. He's teaching everybody to teach the word, to preach the word, all right? Preach the word. I'm charging you by God and by Christ Jesus, by the judge of the living and the dead, I'm charging you with preaching the word. So you need to be ready in season and out of season, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with great patience and instruction. Every one of us can do that, folks. Every one of us can do that, especially if we've walked with the Lord any time at all. Right? For the time will come, he says, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, I ask the question, who is the they there? Who is the they? The they is those people who are not still listening to sound doctrine. They've already been saved. But we have a responsibility to each other, not only to benevolence, not only to edification, but also to preaching and teaching to one another. So evangelism is also something we do for ourselves as well. This is what he says. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. While wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate to themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. They'll turn away their ears from the truth. They've already had the truth, but they're going to turn away their ears from the truth. And they will turn away to myths and other things. But you, be sober in all things. Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. All right? So they are those folks who won't listen to truth anymore. They want to have lies spoken to them. You and I are to be speakers of truth. That means I have to understand the Word of God. I have to study the Word of God. I have to prepare myself to be ready to preach the Word of God. And that's why we need to do this. We have to be ready to be evangelists. We have to be ready to teach and preach the gospel of Christ. If you're not ready for that yet, then start getting ready this morning. Right? I always encourage folks to come. Bring pencil and paper. Write down what we're saying here. Check that against the Word of God. If I'm not preaching the Word of God, let me know. Take me down. Let me know that I'm not doing that, all right? And on the other hand, if you're not writing it down, you're not going to remember it all the time past this morning. So let's write it down some way. Use your devices. Take pictures of the screen. I don't care what you do. Just get this word someplace so you can go and study it later on, all right? In the meantime, we're preparing ourselves, edifying ourselves, lifting ourselves up so that we're ready to do what we have to do to preach and teach the gospel of Christ, every one of us. All right, I want you to see the example of the first century church and what they did. Going to Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. Again, I'm not going to read everything there. You can read it yourself. But basically, the church at Antioch was powerful with teachers and preachers. They had prophets. They had everything they needed in that first century church because they were preparing themselves from the inside out. And Paul and Barnabas are there, and they are set aside by the Holy Spirit, at the request of the Holy Spirit, they're set aside to go and do the very work that we're talking about this morning, to go someplace else and preach and teach the gospel message. But I want you to know they weren't trained to preach and teach just anywhere. They were trained in their congregations where they were. The folks that were there, the prophets and the teachers were given by Christ. They were sent there so they could teach other folks to preach and teach, right? They were to be sent away to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They had to know where they're going, what they're going for. They're going to preach and teach the gospel. They were to embark upon a missionary effort to evangelize in the world. And they were sent by the Holy Spirit from the congregation where they were. Right here in this congregation, we have sent people all over the world. I'm proud of this congregation for that. Part of it is the military influence, since a big part of this congregation is made up of military folk. You folks are sent on Uncle Sam's dime to go and preach the gospel other places. Just be ready to do that when you leave. I'm really appreciative of most of our folks in the military. When you first get here ready to run. I hardly ever have any downtime with folks that come into the military. As soon as you set foot in this place, you're ready to work and serve. I'm proud of you for that. I appreciate that so much. And I encourage you in that because now when you leave here and you go wherever the military sends you, you're ready to preach and teach when you go. It's my ambition while you're here to do everything we can here at Southside to keep you growing and learning and experiencing and preaching and teaching. That's why we have so many different people here who are able to preach and teach, I think, is because we encourage that. So many folks here who are able to step up at a moment's notice and fill in when I'm gone or anybody's gone or just because we need a class taught or whatever. And we rarely have to look for skill and talent. We just have to look for folks who are ready to do that, who are willing, right? Which brings me to one point. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I think we need some teachers really badly in some of our classrooms. If you're ready to teach, please do that. Step up to the plate. See Phil Morton if you need more information about what we need. But I understand we got some folks that need to be taught. So here we go. As the result of all this is that the gospel is going to be preached wherever we go. I want you still to look at the first century church. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Because of the persecutions of Saul before he became Paul, because he was so astoundingly astute in his belief system, because he had letters from the higher-ups to go and arrest Christians and throw them in prison, even put them to death if he wanted to. There were those who were scattered from Jerusalem and the environs of Jerusalem and Judea. They went into other places of the world, but I want you to notice what they did when they went. Those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Wherever they went, they preached the word. They didn't need a special invitation. They didn't need a special assignment. They didn't need to go to special school. They'd been taught the gospel. Whatever they knew to preach and teach, and so they did that. So wherever they went to preach and teach the gospel as they went. Those indicates that many and varied types of persons went. This was not just a handful or two or three people. Now we have a discussion of some of the people that went, but everybody who went out preaching and teaching the gospel. Some are named specifically, but the indication is that whoever was scattered went abroad to preach the gospel. So we need to be preaching wherever we go, folks. Every chance we get, we need to be preaching and teaching the gospel. Do you have even one Bible study in your Bible or in your electronic device, even one study that you can use if you need to, help teach somebody the gospel? If not, next time we call for somebody to learn about the Bible study that we present as we go door knocking, come and join in. You'll have at least one Bible study then you can fall back on if you ever need it. You ought to have a dozen or two dozen saved up someplace. We spent an entire season here looking at old chart sermons that each one of those are encapsulated little gospel messages you can use to teach the gospel. So make your electronic devices work for you. Make your Bibles work for you, whatever you got. Get ready to preach and teach to somebody who might ask you a question about your faith, all right? I want you to look at Paul's view of the evangelist. What is Paul's view of the evangelist? He's speaking specifically of the apostles here, but I don't think he's limiting his message only to the apostles. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, if he's talking just about the apostles being ambassadors for Christ, I'm okay with that. But what he's telling us to do and what he's telling them to do is to go and teach people to be reconciled to God. That's something we all have to do. There are no apostles left on the earth today. There are no apostles that were assigned by Christ in any way. There's some folks calling themselves apostles, but that's not the same. But this is an apt description of each Christian and how we should love the lost so much that we're willing to try to do whatever we can to reconcile them back to God. If you're talking to anyone who's not a member of the body of Christ, who's not a member of the church of Christ, if you're talking to anyone in that situation, then your greatest love for them needs to be the love for their soul. Love to invite them and reconcile them back to God. Realizing that hell is a terrible place, not any of us wants to go there, and we don't want anybody else to go there either. So we're motivated by our love, motivated by our abilities, we're motivated by our Christ and our commission, all right? So we are to be motivated to be evangelists. In fact, we need to be enthusiastic. We need to be eager to evangelize, all right? We need to be eager. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where Peter is talking to us personally, talking to everyone. He says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. In other words, make Christ the anchor by which you stand. Make Christ the most important person in your life. All right, sanctify him. Put him first. Make him holy in your life. All right, sanctify Christ in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Always being ready. Always being ready. Always being ready. Are you ready? I'm just asking this question this morning. Are you ready to do what Peter says to do here? Are you ready to give an answer for the faith that you have, for the hope that you have within you? Are you ready? If you're not ready, then this is the day to start getting ready, folks. People come to Christ at all different levels of experience, all different levels of knowledge and understanding. If you don't have the understanding you need to teach somebody else, then start getting that understanding. There's lots of ways you can do that. You can do that by coming to one of us, leaders here, by enrolling in some of the classes we have here, when we have classes for special things, by going to the internet carefully going to the internet, all right? There's a bunch of junk taught there as well. But carefully going to the internet, there's all kinds of great places you can go. As a matter of fact, Sunset recently has added an app. And if you don't have that Sunset app yet, you're amiss. You need to find the Sunset app and get that on your phone or on your electronic device, because they have videos from Sunset. They have preachers from Sunset. They have all the sermons coming up from Sunset. They're adding new stuff almost every day. If you have YouTube, You can watch videos from Sunset all the time, and others of the preaching schools, I'm sure. But I'm a Sunset pro, so that's why I'm here. So anyway, let's do that. Be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you. Yet with gentleness and reverence, right? We're not going to beat people up with the gospel. I've been talking about that for 18 years here. We don't beat people up with the gospel. We preach the gospel in love, preach the gospel with reverence, with respect, with gentleness, all right? But we preach because we know we have to preach and because we want to preach, right? Because we're ready to preach. We're eager to preach. Is it possible that we've been lax on the preparation side of things? I think at times we are. One of the problems with having a located preacher like myself is that sometimes congregations tend to let the preacher do all the preaching. That's not right. Preachers should be edifying other folks to preach, right? We need to not be lax. If you're here just because you have to be here, that's the only reason you're here, you're not here for the right reasons yet. You're here because you want to be here, because you love to be here, because you love Christ, and because you want to learn to spread the gospel. That's why you should be here, because we have these three jobs to do. We have edification, benevolence, and evangelism that we need to accomplish for Christ. We were created specifically for this. Do you believe that? We were created specifically for these kinds of things, right? Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We're His workmanship, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them, right? We were created specifically for spreading the good news of Christ. God prepared us for that, and that's why He said, I want you to go do some good deeds. I want you to do good works. Good works include, by the way, preaching and teaching the gospel message. It includes that. It's not limited to that. But everything that you're doing for Christ, whatever you're doing, word or deed, you're doing it all for the cause of Christ. If you're doing that, then folks, you're doing good deeds for Christ. Make sure people understand you're doing it for Christ. Does it take any extra effort for you to say, you know, I'm doing this because I love you, because I want you to be a brother or sister in Christ? Does it take any effort from us? People may think we're weird from time to time, but we need to be weird. We don't belong in this world. We need to be otherworldly. So let's be weird. Do whatever we have to do to let people know that the reason we are who we are, the reason we act the way we act, if you're acting like you should, all right? The reason we act the way we act is because we're Christians, because we believe in Christ, because we've been changed by the love of God in our life. We need to speak the truth because we know the truth. If we know the truth and they're not following the truth, we need to let them know that, all right? See, that's a charge that we've been given. We shouldn't be able to help ourselves. We ought to be preaching because we can't help ourselves. And that's where I go back to the apostles in the first century. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 17 through 20. Acts 4, 17 through 20. We shouldn't be able to help ourselves. We ought to be so eager to preach the gospel that we can't hold ourselves back. Instead, it's like we need a cattle prod and a taser gun or something to get people moving, all right? Sometimes it feels that way anyway. But no, what we need is to be so eager because we understand how much we've been spared by Christ. All right, look at Acts 4, verse 17 through 20. The apostles are brought before the Sanhedrin because the Sanhedrin needs to shut them down as fast as they can. All right, that's their intention. So the Sanhedrin doesn't want them to spread the gospel. They say, so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to no longer speak to any man, to speak no longer to any man in this name. So let's warn them, don't ever talk about Jesus again. The best way to get somebody to talk about Jesus is tell them they can't. So I'm going to tell you this morning, don't ever tell another soul about Jesus. That's what I'm telling you. So that'll get everybody motivated to go talk about Jesus, I think, maybe, I hope, all right? In the meantime, here's what they say. The Sanhedrin says, don't ever tell anybody about Jesus, never speak that word again, never. When they summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Don't ever say another word about Jesus as long as you live. And what did Peter and Paul and John and those that were with him say? They answered and said to him, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. Right, they said, you judge whether we should listen to you or listen to God, which is the same way of saying you guys are not even speaking from God, you're speaking from yourselves. Then what did he say next? As for us, or let me find the place there. For we cannot stop. We cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. Folks, they had seen and heard Christ. They had seen and heard the gospel. They had seen and heard the good news. They said, we can't even stop if we tried. You tell us to shut up, but we won't shut up. So maybe what I need to tell everybody here is to shut up and quit preaching Jesus. Maybe at that point you'll say, no, we're going to do it anyway. Whatever it takes, folks, whatever motivation you need, I want you to have that motivation because we're called to preach and teach. We're called to present the gospel to the world. We're called to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Folks, we're called to represent God in this world. Are you ready to do that? If you're not, then let's get ready today. Let's start today. Start making it your ambition to learn the gospel so you can preach it and teach it, to get over whatever hang-ups you might have, shyness you might have, whatever keeps you from being able to reach out to other folks. Let's get rid of that as fast as we can. I have to do some of that myself, folks. I continue to be better at standing up and preaching to people or preaching to one or two than preaching to someone who's lost and bringing them to Christ, all right? We all need to do that as much as we can. So let's get ready. We have a charge. We have a responsibility. The church is better when we do what we're supposed to do. So let's get that done. In the meantime, if you're here this morning, and Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, won't you make things right with the Lord today? Won't you come this morning, put on Christ in baptism, confess his name before these brethren. You'll be put in the waters of baptism, and the waters of baptism, your sins will be washed away from you by the pure water in the waters of baptism, and they'll be paid for by the blood of Jesus the Christ. As you're raised up to walk in newness of life, new creature, the Holy Spirit will come to live inside you. If you're ready for that journey this morning, if you're ready to start that journey, won't you come? Let us do what we can to help you there. If there's anything else we can do to help you or serve you or do anything for you, let us know that as well. We're a servant church here. We want to serve folks. We want to help folks as much as we can. So let us know what your needs are at this time as we stand and as we sing the selected song.